We thank you, Lord, that you are trusting the ministry of this church in such a way that you are pouring out your Spirit here. I pray for every single person who has responded so far this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be alive in their lives. And that that healing, the healing power of Jesus, may truly be activated. And just put the seal of your Spirit upon every life that has responded so far in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. First of all, a big thank you to Andrew, Sherry, and the team this morning for leading us in a magnificent time of worship. I was amazed to see how many people... I'll just carry on talking, you can figure out my sound. Okay, I was amazed to see how many people... And thanks very much, Tom, for doing a great job this morning. It's not easy always doing the sound with all the different voices and EQs and whatever, you know. And so there we go. It's a great team ministry. I was amazed to see how many people responded this morning. I thought maybe two or three would respond. And you know what I was amazed at? To see the multiple age groups coming forward. And doesn't that just blow conventional wisdom? Because sometimes you think we need special kiddie songs for the kids to respond. Or are the children understanding? Or is anybody understanding? Because you're children of God, irrespective of our age. And just to see all those different age groups, from children all the way through, responding to God. How brave that is of anybody, especially a child, to walk forward and say, I'm going to come meet with Jesus this morning. I'm going to trust Him for His healing power. That's absolutely amazing. To me, what happened here this morning has been a highlight so far of this year. Just seeing so many people open to the Lord. And it shows you what's going on in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit always draws people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never put people off. Sometimes, you know, I've been like that in the past. You know, I'm going to invite a friend of mine to church on Sunday. And I just hope everything goes to order. And I hope everything goes to plan. And there's nothing strange that happens. And then something strange happens. I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, did that have to happen this morning? I don't know if you've got that t-shirt. And actually, and it's happened numerous times. And when I've spoken to the person afterwards, that bit where I was embarrassed, because I thought I should be embarrassed, because I've probably never seen anything like it, that was the best bit for them. They could really see the power of God in that. So we have no idea of what's really happening in people's hearts and lives when we're worshipping. And we can't judge. We can't look across the way and see somebody, their arms folded or their head down, and think they just don't have God this morning. We can't think that. We've got no idea where they're at. Likewise, we can't look at somebody with their hands raised and say, well, they're really connecting with God. We don't know that. How do we know that? Worship is between us and God. And worship is for God. Worship is for no one else. For an audience of one. God. And worship is designed to bless the Lord. And to worship Him. And to praise Him. Like this morning. And then we see the Holy Spirit being poured out. And even children. And even older people. And everybody responds. I've been blown away at times when I speak to kids after the service, and they've actually, even sometimes when the kids have sat in and listened to my sermons, they've got more out of it than some of the adults. Some of them sit and take notes. They're not playing games on their phones, they're taking notes. Some of us are texting our friends saying, you should know, guess what he's preaching on again this morning, but the kids are taking notes. Isn't that amazing? So, we're in a season called Come Holy Spirit. And over the past few weeks, we've seen the Holy Spirit poured out here. Some people have gone weak at the knees. Some people have felt dizzy. There's been speaking in tongues. Some people have fallen over under the power of the Spirit. I don't know what you call that. Some people call that being slain in the Spirit. I just call it the Lord at work. And it's always, you know, when you are in front of the Lord and doing what I call carpet time. Now, if somebody's lying in front of the Lord, lights out, they're doing carpet time. It's not about that manifestation. It's about the changed life after that. You with me? So we're not looking for a manifestation. I'm not looking for a manifestation. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives. And for God is looking for changed lives. Sometimes people laugh. It's called holy laughter. And you can tell it's a different laugh. Sometimes people get released of hurt and things in their lives that life has deposited there, and they can come out with a shriek and a scream. All these things happen. Well, is it biblical? Is it biblical? And that's why this morning I want to do a bit of a teaching with you on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I have a confession to make. Everybody listens to me. Yeah, the pastor has a confession to make. Here's my confession. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you're right, there's a but in there. But I love God more. You see, I don't seek the gifts. I seek the giver of the gifts. If my children only sought gifts from me, Daddy, Daddy, buy me this. Daddy, Daddy, give me this. Daddy, Daddy, give me that. Daddy, Daddy, you've got the picture? Where's the love relationship in that? So it's about our love relationship with the Father. And when we are in a love relationship with our Father, with Father God, He pours out the gifts. I never forget one seeking the gift of tongues. And I must have prayed for many years for the gifts of tongues until the Lord rebuked me. I didn't get it until the Lord rebuked me. Isn't that great? With a fatherly rebuke. He said, stop wanting the gift of tongues so much and want me, your heavenly Father. I was only 16 at the time. Can't forgive me for being immature in my faith. And once I sought the Father and began to worship Jesus, the tongues just flowed naturally. Wow. So the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that God has gifted you. Can you say to yourself, God has spiritual gifts for me? God has spiritual gifts for me. Well, believe it. He does. Let's go to the first scripture there this morning. It's the John 14 verse 12 one. So every member has a particular function. Every member of God's family has a gift. And it's a bit like the parable of the talents. The more we use our gift, the better we get at it. Not only the better do we get at it, but the more gifts come. I started off with tongues. That was my entry-level gift. And then different gifts started to flow. So Jesus said this to his disciples, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I have done, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus was saying to his disciples, most assuredly. He wasn't saying, okay guys, well, you know, well now, maybe just, you know, just maybe, if I'm really in a good mood today, you're going to get a gift out of me. It's most assuredly. And I don't believe God's a moody God either. So that's a good one for our emotions. If we have the mind of Christ, we should have the emotions of Christ. I don't believe He's up one day and down the next. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what did He do? We spent 2 weeks teaching what He did when He went to His Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit comes gifts for God's people. Isn't that great? I always remember my grandmother visiting us. She lived in Cape Town and we lived in the Strand. And she used to take the train from Cape Town to the Strand. And she always used to arrive. I'll never forget the picture in my mind of her arriving with biscuit tins in those kind of net things they had in those days in both hands. Gifts. She had baked us biscuits and the best millionaire shortbread, although we didn't call it that in those days. It's the shortbread, it's the caramel, and it's the chocolate on top. If you've ever had a homemade one, there's nothing like it. I'm salivating as I'm thinking about it. But she came with gifts, and they were good gifts. And it's the same with the Lord when He comes into our lives. He comes with gifts, and they're good gifts, but just not any old gifts. Specific gifts He comes with. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and in each of you, and each one of you is part of it. There's no other way to say this. You are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Every single row I'm going through here, you are the body of Christ. You know, this row is part of the body of Christ. Have a look at them. These rows, yeah, they're part of the body of Christ. Have a look at them. Over here, you can all turn around. Not often they see you at the back here, guys. They also, although they're at the back, they're part of the body of Christ. And look what 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. And each one of you is part of it. You are all part of it. In other words, we all have a share in the body of Christ. We've all got our unique part to play. And God has gifted you. And every member is really important. I remember some time ago packing for holiday, and I was super excited. I don't know if you get excited when you go on holiday. And as I was, you know, prancing around, getting all super excited, and I had my lovely clothes, which my wife had ironed for me for holiday. Isn't that amazing? I had this pile of clothes in my hand, which I didn't want to disturb, and I wanted to get it into the suitcase just like that. And I literally came running, and I kicked my big toe on the big wheel on the suitcase. You know, up until that stage, I didn't even know I had a big toe. But the agony was immense. And that's what it's like. We've all got a function to play. You know, my big toes, you should cover it up with shoes and socks. But no matter where we are in the body of Christ, we all have our part to play. And imagine, I kicked my toe off. Horrible thought, I know. It would have been disconnected to the rest of my body and of no use. So whether we are a toe or a finger or a head or the neck, or whatever we are in the body of Christ, if we are disconnected, we are of no use to the body. Get connected. Get connected. Okay, so let's move on. 1 Corinthians 12. You can look it up in your pew Bible, actually, because it's a long scripture. And I know if I put it up there, somebody would have said the print was so small I couldn't read it. So 1 Corinthians 12, this pew Bible's hardly been used, I must tell you. The pages are still like brand new, sticking together, from verse 15. So you'll find that on page 1152 in the pew Bible. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So we all have a part to play. Our eyes and our ears do not serve the same purpose. Likewise, in the body of Christ, every single one of us has a different function to play. Now, if I did lose my toe that day, I kicked my toe, my body would have serious problems coping without it. For one, I probably would now be walking with a limp, I wouldn't probably be able to run properly, and I would be stumbling everywhere I went. And when one part of the body is not operating the way it should, the entire body feels the effects of it. So we are all members of the body, and God has gifted you. Say that again. God has gifted me. I want to also say this, that spiritual gifts are not something strange or outrageous. They're not something that belong to the charismatic movement. If we look at our next scripture there, 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now that will become clearer as we go through the teaching. But the gifts of the Spirit is actually the way of love. Isn't that amazing? People often say, oh, there's no love in this church. I wonder what they're really saying. If the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, that would be the love of God in operation. Because you've got to love people enough. You've got to love God enough, and you've got to love people enough to step out. Case in point, this morning when I did the appeal for healing, that came out of my love relationship with God. Before the service, the Lord said to me, I'm going to put a call on you to pray for people for healing. During the service, that call became stronger in my spirit. And because I love God and I love people, I put my pride in the pocket, what if it all goes pear-shaped, what if it all goes horribly wrong, and I stepped out and I was obedient to the Lord because I love the Lord and I love people. Amen. So, the ways, gifts of the Spirit are a way of love. Look at Acts 19, 11 and 12. This is after the day of Pentecost. So remember, the Holy Spirit we know was poured out on the day of Pentecost. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even the handkerchiefs and aprons that he touched, that had touched him, were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Does anybody have a clean handkerchief for me? Thank you, Chris. In fact, let's say Chris is the Apostle Paul, and the handkerchief has just gone off him, okay, and it's going around the church, and that everybody with the handkerchief and aprons, doesn't that tell you aprons? They must have been serving really hard if aprons even got mentioned. Okay, so serving in the church is biblical, okay? And that attached him were taken to the sick. So people just got around Paul, and their aprons and their handkerchiefs just touched him. And then they knew someone was sick. They would go, and that, look what happened. Were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured. So let's say it landed on me and I had an illness. My illness was cured. Or it landed on somebody and they had an evil spirit. The evil spirit came out of them. Isn't that amazing? So what does this teach us about spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are a supernatural manifestation of God's power in our lives. They're not natural. We can't earn a degree in them. I can't get a degree in the gift of prophecy. It's a spiritual gift. God decides. The Holy Spirit decides we will give it to. Although Paul said desire gifts, we can desire as much as we like, but the Holy Spirit gives as He wills. His choice. We can't play pick a mix. You remember pick a mix? The chocolates? Yeah? And you can pick, I used to pick the lovely ones that had chocolate and nut in the middle and caramel. I always pick those. And we kind of do the same. We've got our favorite spiritual gift, but God might not have that for you. So our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts are different. Sometimes it's overlapping. Sometimes if you've gone off for singing lessons, etc., etc., or piano lessons, God may use that in conjunction with a supernatural gift. That when you sing, breakthrough comes in people's lives. When you play the drums and you beat the bass drum, you know, people who need deliverance from bondage get delivered. I've seen that in action in the church. It's amazing. These are much more than just instruments. When our instruments are used by anointed people in God's hands, God's Spirit flows and does amazing things. Look at the next scripture. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So all he did was he placed his hands on them. He said, had you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. Paul said, have you been baptized in the Spirit? They said, have you been baptized in water but not the Spirit? And Paul placed his hands on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Scriptures like this is where we get our teaching from in the church about laying on of hands, about prophesying. I want to talk about prophecy if time allows me in a bit. You may remember this guy in the Bible called Peter. What happened with Peter? He denied Christ three times. But on the day of Pentecost, he got up and preached a sermon. How many gave their lives to the Lord? 3,000. How many of you know that? That was a supernatural gift. What gift do you think he had? Evangelism. That was the supernatural gift of evangelism on that day. So my big question to you then is, what is the purpose? Before I ask what is the purpose, my big question first of all is, what is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? For today, just an entry level teaching on it. If you're taking notes, the definition I'm going to give you today is, a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. A spiritual gift. There's a bit of a ring on the mic. I wonder if you could sort that out. Thank you so much. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. Who's all Christians? I'm an all Christian. I don't know about you. So it's a supernatural ability given by God to do His work on earth. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? The amazing thing about a spiritual gift, usually when we receive a gift, the gift's for us, isn't it? But when we receive a spiritual gift, A, the gift never belongs to us. We are only a steward, a custodian of the gift which God gives to us. God may decide to increase the gift. He may decide to increase the level of the gift He gives us. Or He may decide to take it away. So I've seen in my life through different seasons, different gifts kick in different levels of God's power. And why does that happen? Because the gift's not for me. I'm not yet standing praying for people's healing for me. If I'm going to do something for me, I'll have a barbecue. It's not for me. If anything, I'm making myself vulnerable. I'm putting my faith to the test. I'm putting faith in action, and so will you when you're operating your spiritual gifts. And you open yourself up to criticism. Who does he think he is laying hands on other people? Look, I don't think I'm anybody. Let's just get over that right now. All I am is a child of God on assignment. That's all. I don't think anything less or anything more of myself. And that's who we all are. We are children of God on a divine assignment to see this world changed. Amen. Okay, so what is the purpose of a spiritual gift? Let's put up the next scripture. Here it is in the Bible. I'm going to show you from the Bible why we have spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:26. What then shall I say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Can you see spiritual gifts operating there? Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. What's the purpose of the spiritual gift? To build the church up. So, let's say people received healing this morning. That will build the individual up. The individual, as you've already looked at this morning, is part of the church. Part of the wider body, which will bring health into the body, which in turn will encourage others, which in turn will build the church up. And the world out there will be blessed by the gift as well. If you have aches and pains and you can't do your work, and you're getting on your boss's nerves, and you get healed, and you go back to work with a spring in your step, wow, what a testimony to the workforce. So it's to edify the church and then to go out into the world. But it's to edify the church. But whose church is it? The church of Jesus Christ. So it's got to be the church that Jesus sees that it builds up. Not our version of church. His version of church. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So our gifts are acts of service. One of my gifts is prophecy, another is leadership, another is preaching and teaching. None of it's for me. It's to serve you. I'm serving you. I have my apron on this morning and I'm serving you the word. I'm putting my heart and my soul into this. I'm putting everything I have into serving you to the best of my ability under God's divine gift. So each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So if you think your gift's not good enough, don't worry about it, just use it.
The Holy Spirit thinks it's good enough. The Holy Spirit thinks it's good enough. It's good enough for me. As faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. That's very interesting. Have a look at that. God's grace in various forms. Let's go to the next scripture. Spiritual gifts are given for the building up or edification of the body. Look at what Paul says. This is the big spiritual gift scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. Are you with me? Somebody say amen. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. Isn't that great? Brothers and sisters. Yes, Nathan agrees. Prophet Nathan. Okay. I do not want you to be uninformed. In other words, another translation says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And there are people who are ignorant of the gifts. And through this, I'm hoping to give a basic teaching on it. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, I bought my daughter a chemistry set for her birthday. It was a gift from me, her dad, and I gave the gift with a purpose. The purpose was to try and instill a love of science in her and to bring some fun to the family, seeing all these experiments go on over the dining room table. But for many a month, the gift remained unused, and worse than unused, the gift remained hidden. Why? Because I discovered my daughter didn't know how to use the chemistry set. She needed dad, the one who gave her the gift, to come alongside her, open the box with her, and teach her. It was a gift from me, her father, with a purpose. But it remained hidden and unused. Now we can draw the parallels with the gifts God has given us. Sometimes we don't know how to use the gift. We don't know what it's there for or why it's there. And therefore it remains hidden and unused. And I think there's many here in this congregation this morning, and even listening to the podcast, you've got gifts from the Lord, but they are remaining hidden and unused. And in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, the New Living Translation puts it this way, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So, buckle up your seatbelts. We're going to first of all now look at what a spiritual gift is not. Then we're going to look at what it is. And that's the sermon for today. Next slide. Three things spiritual gifts are not. First of all, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. You may have a natural talent to sing and to dance. Spiritual gift is something totally different. I know of a person who is the top go-to person who oversees a specific denomination of all their Bible schools, all their professors and lecturers, all their theology, and is a head of a major international pastors' network. He got that job through an equivalent of GCSE qualifications, but he had the gift of teaching. Make sense? So our natural qualification and our spiritual gift can sometimes be very different. Look, a degree in theology helps a lot, believe you me, I know, I've got one, when you are a pastor. And the Bible does say to study to show yourself approved, a workman needing not be ashamed. One will correctly divide the scriptures. But what kicks in above all human teaching on theology is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they're not the same as natural talents. And they're different to fruit of the Spirit. Some people say to me, I just don't have the gift of love. Or I just don't have the gift of patience. Look, love is not a gift. Patience is not a gift. You read Galatians 5. It's a fruit. All the fruit of the Spirit are listed in Galatians 5. It's part of our normal, everyday Christian life. We're meant to love. We're meant to have patience and all that wonderful stuff which comes as a fruit. The next thing spiritual gifts are not. Spiritual gifts are not necessarily a sign of maturity. Just because God's leading, using you in a gift doesn't mean that you are an awfully mature spiritual Christian. It may mean that. And you may be that, but it's not a sign of maturity. It's also not a sign that you're part of God's favorite club, because God doesn't have any favorites. God pours out His gifts on whoever He wills. And thirdly, spiritual gifts is nothing to fear. Don't fear it. Embrace it. Obviously in the church, and I'll talk on this in time to come, there is an order. The Bible says that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. So let's say, before the service, I got this thing about healing. And let's say Andrew's busy with the first song, and I'm there, give me a chance. Andrew, can you stop the first song? The Lord wants to pour out healing. No, there needed to be wisdom in how that was brought upon. So the church first had to enter worship. There would be a testing of that word. And then at the right time, the word brought. Even if you feel have a prophetic gift, check it out first with me or Isabel. We're usually in one when it comes to our services here, or one of our leaders. And sometimes the gift, the word is right, but the timing's wrong. Sometimes the word is right and the timing's perfect. Sometimes we may just have to wait till there's a, you know, something's going on and the Lord leads us in that direction. There's been a case and the person's here this morning, that one shared with me that they had a word to bring, and I said, actually, that fits in very well with my first point in my sermon. So rather than me belaboring the point when I get to the first point, I'm going to call you forward to bring that word to the church. So there's a working together and a maturity in the gift. So there's nothing to fear. Are you still with it, or do you want me to land? Can I go a little deeper? I'm trying to build up here and go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper this morning to our Roman scripture. So yeah, we're looking at two main lists of gifts this morning. Yeah, it's the first one found in Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts, so we've got different gifts. So let's celebrate that. According to the grace given to each of us. That's an important thing. There's a grace on each of our lives. Don't step outside your grace zone. Operate within the grace God has given you. Scripture and verse. Next slide. Scripture and verse. Romans 12:3. For by grace, the grace given to me. Look at that. Don't think of yourself more highly. Think of yourself as sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. God has assigned a measure of faith to all of us. It can grow, but He's assigned a measure. Don't operate outside your faith. Whenever somebody preaches, and we've had a new preacher, and in recent weeks and months here at BHBC, one of my rules to new preachers is don't speak outside your grace zone. Don't speak outside of the measure of faith God has given you. Don't speak outside of your authority. Right, even the phone agrees with me. Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ appointed it. God appointed a level of grace on all of our lives to operate in these gifts. So you may have a level of grace to pray for people's healing from headaches and not cancer. But in being faithful in praying for people's headaches to go, and you see fruit in that, you may actually get to pray for a cancer patient, where the Lord may actually decide to heal. But it's operating within the grace He's given you. Look at Romans 12, 6b. If your gift is prophesy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. So if your prophecy for faith is for in faith is for yourself, then don't try it on someone else. If it's for someone to encourage them, then bring the encouragement. And if your prophecy level of has not grown in accordance with your faith to speaking to the church, well then don't speak to the church, because you'll be outside of the grace apportioned to you. So operate within your grace. Isn't that great? Operate within your grace. Well, let's look at that then. Romans 12. Next slide, please. We have different gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy. Let's talk about prophesying for a minute. It's an exciting gift, isn't it? It's a tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. I love the gift of prophecy. In fact, under New Testament terminology, even preaching a sermon that will bring life and guidance to a church is deemed as prophetic. Prophecy, I don't need to tell you this, we all know this. Prophecy is not fortune telling. And there's a difference between prophecy in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit indwelling. Remember past sermons. So the prophets used to bring direction, they used to bring judgment, they used to bring teaching and call the nation to repentance. That's what we see in the Old Testament, and they sometimes foretold the future. In fact, in the New Testament, we don't really see foretelling the future. We see Jesus predicted His own death and resurrection, and we see Agabus who predicted a famine and Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. But really, the Greek word for prophet is this: one who speaks forth the word of God. So God has given his complete revelation in his word. So it is someone who speaks forth God's word. So somebody may be going through a tough time and you speak God's word forth into that person's life. You are being a prophet in that situation. You are bringing forth God's word and making it alive in their lives. We cannot therefore understand New Testament gift of prophecy to refer to the prediction of future events. So in other words, it is forth-telling more than foretelling. You get it? Forth-telling. We're telling forth God's word. And it's safe to say, again, that it's forth-telling and not foretelling. Look at verse 7. If serving, then serve. Another translation says, if your gift is serving, then serve well. Service is a spiritual gift. I can speak about many things, but you know what? Do you know how to tell a person who truly has a gift of service? They notice what you like without you saying a word, and they do it for you. Wow. Because it's not about them, it's about you. I've had the privilege of preaching internationally in some of the biggest churches. I've had the privilege of preaching in shanty towns, in tents, in tin shanties. And on one occasion, after the service, the pastor said to me, I was preaching in a tent in a shanty town. He said, please join us for a meal afterwards. And to be perfectly frank with you, I wasn't jumping up and down thinking I'm going to enjoy this meal. I'm just being vulnerable. 38 degrees Celsius, in a dusty place, there was no sign of refrigeration. The salad leaves was warmer than the chicken. I've been in situations before, I think the ministry is glamorous, we've preached and we've gone into another tent for a meal, and literally the goat which you just killed a few hours ago has just been cooked on some fire, and somebody lifts the tent on the side and pushes through the main dish to land up on the pastor's table. How many of you know you need the gift of faith to operate, to accept the gift of service? But on this particular occasion, the Lord really pulled me up. I wasn't looking forward to this meal. And the pastor said to me, he invited us. The table was in a tent. It was a dusty floor. He got one of his servants to come around with a big basin to wash our hands for us. And already the humility levels just kicked in. The table was immaculately set. And he said, you know, I had a look at what they cooked in a London restaurant. You found some top London restaurant online. And I saw how they set the tables. So I wanted to set the table like that for you, because I know you're living in England. And I showed my chef the menu. And I've got my chef to cook you that menu. My goodness. What do you do? What do you say? The humility. People who serve love to serve. It's a wonderful gift. Let's go to the next one. If your gift is to teach, teach well. I've already spoken about teaching and how it can be supernatural rather than just natural at times. If your gift is encouraging, then give encouragement. God's given you encouragement for somebody, go and unleash it. You know, let's say you feel like you need to encourage the worship leader and say, really great worship leading. Really, I just sense the Lord there. Thank you so much. That's encouragement. But please don't bring a but. But it would have been nice if you did my favorite song. No offense, you can play your favorite song anytime. Encouragement. It's not about you and your favorite song. It's about the other person. I just use that because it's an easy example. The next gift that I'm going to look at is giving. If giving, give generously. Wow. As Christians, we're all called to give, aren't we? Every single one of us. But God does gift some people with the supernatural gift of giving. I've seen it over and over and over again where we've prayed and we've trusted the Lord for things in the ministry, for things that the church couldn't afford. And somebody will phone up and say, "Where are you lunchtime? The Lord has told me to transfer to the church account such and such and such an amount. He's told me I've got to give." And it's been the amount we've been trusting the Lord for the church. That is the supernatural gift of giving. And let me tell you, you don't have to be rich to give generously. You just need a generous heart and a person who says, "Lord, use me however you want. God can use your time. You can give your time. You can give your skills. You can give finances. You can give your car in giving people lifts to church." It's giving generously. Anybody say hallelujah? Look at leadership. If God has given you leadership, take up the responsibility seriously. It's a special gift endowed. I've seen people that cannot lead in the secular world, but once they enter the church world, the gift of leadership kicks in. And they lead magnificently. If God has given you kindness, then give, do it gladly. So how do you know what gift you have? I'm going to come to that in a minute. But can I just be a little bit humorous and just use an illustration for fun? It's not theological, just a bit of fun. Is that okay? I heard one pastor put it this way. Let's say you're having Sunday lunch, and Sunday lunch has come to an end, and you're having desserts. Okay, and it's one of those like big desserts, you know, and there's a load of cream on top of the dessert. Anybody know what I'm kind of talking about? Okay, so choose your favorite dessert, the biggest portion you can think of, with the biggest dollop of cream on top of that. And I'm going to come into a land in a moment. And served around, and the person sitting next to you digs their spoon into it, and just as it's about to enter the mouth, this huge amount of dessert and cream lands up on that person's lap. And you say, "I saw it coming. I knew it was going to happen." Well, maybe you've got the gift of prophecy. Maybe you say, "Wait, let me clean that up for you. Here's a napkin. Let me wipe it off for you. Let me take care of you." Well, you've got the gift of serving. Maybe you say, "Well, you know, I've researched this, and they really say that the better way to put the spoon in your mouth is like this, and step one to do the next time you eat this dessert is this." Maybe you've got the gift of teaching. Maybe you say, "I really feel for you. I really feel so sorry for you. I mean, it's just awful what has happened to you. Come, I'm going to take my dessert, and I'm going to just rub the cream all over myself and just really get into this dessert." Maybe you've got the gift of encouragement. Or maybe you say, "Well, yeah, look, I really take mine." You've got the gift of giving. Maybe you say, "Don't worry, not a problem. I've got a vision for this. I've got a vision to get this cleaned up, chop chop. You bring the napkin, you bring the baby wipes, you bring the bucket of water, you get the laundry bill." You've got the gift of leadership. Maybe you say, "My heart sinks. I'm just devastated for you. I'm just hurting with you today." Or maybe you've got the gift of mercy and kindness. I've got a lot more I could say. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to do so now because of time. There's also the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, where God gives supernatural knowledge. And often there's an overlapping in gifts. Jesus, to the woman at the well, had a gift of knowledge for her. It was an awesome gift of knowledge. In John 4:16, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." What you have just said is quite true. What did Jesus have? The gift of knowledge. It's awesome. When God gives you knowledge that you could never, ever, 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 ever have had unless the Holy Spirit showed it to you. It's a gift of knowledge. Gifts of healing. Notice it's gifts of healing. Everything else is singular. Gifts of healing is plural. I find that very interesting. Miraculous powers. We say, "Oh, it was a miracle that I got a car park right in front of the front door of Sainsbury's." We say that. That's not a miracle. Miraculous powers. I've seen it. I've seen the lame, the cripple, without any hope, get up and walk. And the strange thing is one tends to see this in countries where maybe we don't have the medical attention and excellence we have in this country. Maybe the people just believe and are that just much more desperate. I don't know. I don't have a fixed theology on that. But I have seen miracles in this country as well. Distinguishing of spirits. I've already spoken about prophecy. Discernment of spirits. You just know the spirit a person's operating in. Isabel's father is brilliant at it. In fact, I served on church leadership for many a year with both her mum and her, both Isabel's mum and dad, even before I was married to her, even before we thought we'd ever be married. And Isabel's dad has the most amazing gift of discernment. He can look at a person, have never met them, and tell you, first of all about them and what spirit is in them. Good and bad. Great guy to have on leadership. Solved us many a sleepless night. Because we could get to the root of what we needed to pray for and deal with. Isn't that awesome? And I think that spirit's rubbed off onto his daughter. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. And a lot of these gifts are intermingled. Let's come into a close. How do you know what spiritual gift you have? First of all, let me say you do have at least one. How do you know? Number one, study what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. Look up 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. So look at the Bible. The best place to look. Then when we're looking in the Bible at these scriptures, the next one, thank you, ask God to show you your gifts and do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Lord, what is the gift you have for me to share, to build up the body of Christ and other people? Where do you want me to use this gift? This gift. You know what? I've found that life group is the best place. It's a great testing ground for spiritual gifts. Andrew and Sherry who led worship, yeah. Do you know where they started leading worship? Life group. Some people you see preaching. Where did they start? Not necessarily preaching, but bringing the teaching of the word and being a facilitator of that. Life group. It's a loving community that when we get it wrong, we can support each other and get each other through it. And when we get it right, we can celebrate together. You can also take a spiritual gift test. Now, although that is appealing to the IQ, the emotional intelligence, and spiritual gifts appear to the SQ, our spiritual intelligence, it gives us an indication to get us into the right way. Now, I have got copies of a Discover Your Spiritual Gifts test here. So if you want to take one afterwards, you're more than welcome. I'll leave them on the little table here. Please take one. Something great to discuss in life group as well. So please take one. And thirdly, take note of what seems to flow effortlessly, even though it may be a challenge to you. A gift just flows effortlessly. For me to do certain things with the Lord flows effortlessly, even though it's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge. Sometimes we come up against all sorts of challenge. Challenges. I might think, I'm just not good enough to preach to these people. It's my challenge. I don't feel strong enough today. Lord, I just want to come to church to receive. And the next thing the Lord tells you to go and encourage someone. Lord, I'm the one who needs encouragement. Encourage me, encourage me. And the Lord says, no, I want you to go and encourage that person. I'm going to give you the gift to do it. Go and serve that person. You know, go do something for them. Go give. Lord, I need money, you might be saying. The Lord says, go and give. It's a spiritual gift. In conclusion, I'm going to end with 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm going to use it as my concluding words. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Have a look around. You are looking at faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Next time someone leads worship, they should say this, good morning, faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. That's who we are. If anyone speaks, they should do one as speaks the very words of God. I hope I'm doing that this morning for you. serving you in that way. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. How do we do it? In the strength God provides. So that all things may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Worship team, please. It was a slightly longer teaching than usual. I had a lot of information I wanted to download as a basis for this, so we can carry on exploring this in weeks or months to come, whenever the time is right, in greater depth. But we just needed some of these basics. I hope it was a blessing to you, and it's brought life, and it's encouraged you. I'm going to leave. This table over here, so when you go through to the Care Center, take a few, and I'll leave a few at the back as well for those going through to the back after the service. But now just a time to respond. In a moment we're going to get to a song which Andrew and Sherry are going to sing to us, and I want you to be thinking about your spiritual gift and how you can be serving the Lord. If you want, you can open up at 1 Corinthians 12 and just have a look through those spiritual gifts in the scriptures, even while the song is on. But just get with the Lord. Maybe there's been a gift in operation and it's no longer in operation. Maybe the Lord has said that season's over and it's a season for a new gift. Maybe it's time to fan that flame back into being. Who knows? Only you and God will know. So I'd like us to spend this next few moments just getting with the Lord about our spiritual gifts, as we are ministered to. Thank you very much.